On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Move over, Banks. The social media wars have us begging for threads. Or not. Microsoft got the join or the AI message. New generative AI ad headlines and descriptions are rolling out.
And you can now explore some massive ads on Google Explore.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Greg Finn.
I'm Jess Butt.
I'm Nicole Waddington.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on July 14th, 2023. What is happening, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Marketing O'Clock. Jess, what's going on in your life?
So it's finally happened to me. Everyone talks about the phase where their youngins get really into farts and butts and thinking they're funny.
Welcome to the last 5 years of my life. My kid just yesterday said one of his top three songs was the fart song by Fartman 3000. It's a terrible song. The album cover is scary as hell. Yes, I know exactly what you're thinking right now.
Okay, so I think I heard this song last night because my child, Jack, was having trouble falling asleep. I said, hey, Google, play sleep music. And he goes, no, play fart music.
Yep.
Google, okay, playing fart songs on Spotify.
By Fartman 3000. Yeah.
Yep. And I proceeded to have a giggle fit because I'm like, this is ridiculous. And Jack scolds me from bed under his covers. He goes, Mom, stop laughing. I want to hear this song. And we had to listen to the whole song. Okay. I just didn't believe that this was a real thing.
Just to show you that I'm not lying,
I believe you.
You're going to see what all I listen to are the world's stupidest songs. They should never be able to be played. This is the last song that they made me play last time. It's Korn.
It's Korn. I can tell you all about it.
Oh, that's a good song.
Jack would love
it. I know. Korn. We love the Korn Kid. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
you know, I know the Korn Kid. Yep. Yeah. Not it's Korn with Korn. A K. Like, it's Korn.
So
like
afterwards, I played him Korn. And they didn't like it. Well, they kind of liked it.
You played them Korn?
Yeah.
Jonathan Davis Korn?
Yes.
Which song?
Got the life.
Oh,
I had to do
such
something
a good song.
That wasn't as like explicit.
Yeah, that's a good song.
It was really good, actually.
Yeah. Also, like, farts and butts are funny. I'm just like, it finally happened to me.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been indoctrinated in
parenthood. Well, guess what? You have 6 to 7 more years of that, at least.
I feel like to
maybe how long are you live?
Hopefully not long.
Well,
a couple years.
Maybe a couple more years of that. All right. And for me, I just have one new hobby. I love the Zillow app. It just shows you all these different places that you've been. And it's like, here's trending homes here. It's like, oh, you went here. Here's a trending home here.
You want to move?
The AI goes through the listings and pulls out the most insane things that you have ever seen. I absolutely love it. I can't get enough of it. I was in the Adirondacks in New York. It's like a mountain range. And it's like, oh, here are trending homes here. There's a home for $700,000. And the little bubble that it pulls up says air hockey. That's like a $100 thing.
That's the only valuable thing in that
yeah,
home.
It's like, here's a $700,000 house with a $100 air hockey thing. And then it's like, oh, you live in Rochester. Here are trending homes in Rochester. This one? Black ceilings.
Yes.
Ooh, okay. No, that's a selling point.
But
I wouldn't have
basement.
To paint the ceilings
it's
myself.
It's not even a ceiling, though. It's like just the
just an
joist.
Unfinished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then another one's like, oh, here's a $160,000 house. It's got coat closet in it. Crazy.
Well, thank goodness.
That's another one's like, oh, you have a blacktop driveway. Just check out your Zillow app, play around with it, and see what the AI pulls out. It is so funny. So funny. All right, what's up in the main news here this week?
All right. Brace yourselves, people, because we're eating our words from last week. Threads has become the fastest growing social media platform in history since it launched on July 5th. So what, 9 days ago? is when you're listening to this, and even less than that when we're recording. Within the first hour alone, it received a whopping 5 million signups. That is an exact quote from Search Engine Land. Nicola Agius has a great rundown in her piece, Threads FAQ, Everything Marketers Need to Know. You can read the whole thing if you want, but I'm going to tell you what those things are that all marketers need to know. So first of all, I think everybody knows this, but just to say it again, you have to have an Instagram account to use Threads. There is also some sharing between profiles, such as username. And as such, if you make changes to those key profile details on one platform, it will impact the other. So that's just something good to know. And if you're wondering if your audience is there, they very well could be already. I know we said this wasn't going to take off, but over 100 million people have signed up. How heavily they're using it remains to be seen, but they're on there. As we always say, just set up an account for your brand so you have your username. Again, knowing that there's that Instagram connection, there's a little bit of protection there.
You don't have to worry about it in this case.
You might just want to have the thing. So maybe download the app. The big kids are doing it. Walmart, Reese's, Sarah Jessica Parker, Oprah, all the household names are already on there. To our friends in the EU, you can keep waiting. Currently, there are no plans to roll out Threads in EU countries. However, a person familiar with the matter told Bloomberg that Meta is awaiting further guidance regarding the Digital Marketing Act to see if an EU launch will be possible at a later stage. Why that is obviously privacy related. We've talked about that before, but just some things, personal data that is being collected about users includes, but it's not limited to, health and fitness info, your location, financial information, your browsing history, your home address, all those things that, I mean, Facebook and Instagram have that too, but that's, again, where some of those privacy issues potentially lie. From a safety standpoint, Threads enforces the same community guidelines as Instagram, so just be good. Right, that's not hard. As of now, this is a weird one. The only search functionality in the app is to find other users. It's not around like topics. It seems like a really stupid way to exist, so I'm sure that's not the plan going forward. I'm sure, you know, searching around content will be coming, otherwise what's the point? And it seems like we're still geared towards short form content here. So posts can include links, photos, and videos. Videos can be up to 5 minutes long, but text is limited to a maximum of 500 characters. So not super short, but keep it brief. Brevity is the soul of wit. And something that is probably on everyone's mind is, can I advertise there? We have a story later about how advertisers are moving off of Twitter and what the alternatives are. So not yet on Threads, but as a reminder, when Instagram launched, you couldn't run ads there either, and now it's a huge driver of revenue for Facebook, or Meta, obviously. So according to the article, a source told Axios that the Instagram team are working on making branded content tools available in the future, the near future, and ads are expected to be introduced, quote, when Threads reaches a critical mass.
Great.
So that's coming. Do you have thoughts on Threads? I have more to say, but I feel like, yeah, go for it.
What do you have, Nicole?
You
downloaded it.
I did. I mean, the user experience to getting an account and everything, super seamless. So the interoperability, when they're getting all these users to mass, like, transition over to Threads, like, amazing, but still, like, a half-baked product. There's still a lot of stuff that I wish they had features for that Twitter still does. And as far as I'm concerned, like, I haven't really noticed a drop off in Twitter activity since it's come out. So,
that's kind of a big deal, actually.
Yeah. I'm with Nicole. I think it's easy to use, easy to add people. My only other pro is that it actually looks way better than Twitter, but almost like in an uncomfortable way. Like, I kind of like Twitter for its like griminess of it. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of have to learn how to figure it out. Threads, it's all there. So I think it actually will bring more people on that might be scared of Twitter for just the usability standpoint. But there are a lot of negatives. Jess, the fact that you can't search what is happening is asinine.
That's why it can't possibly be the way.
I want to know where Damian Lillard's going. Like, right. How can I?
Did you say Matthew Lillard?
Oh, I just watched a great movie with Matthew Lillard this weekend. It was phenomenal. I forget the name of it already, but it was Lillard. Home Run Showdown. Yes. Dean Cain was in it. Superman. Unbelievable plot. Unbelievable plot. Anyway, so you can't search at all. I would also say, like, hashtags don't work. You can put in, like, hashtag digital marketing and it doesn't anywhere.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Nothing happens. All you do is find profiles, like you said. Mm-hmm. You are not able to limit the content to people you follow.
That's what I can't. That's why I deleted it. It was because, like, why are these random things and people coming up in my feed? Why can't I control what I'm seeing?
I don't care what Winona Ryder is doing. Like, I don't. I'm following.
I care. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Also, the EU. There's no plans. What are we doing? Mm-hmm. You can't delete Threads unless you delete your Instagram account.
Yeah, you could delete the app, but not your account.
Yeah. It collects all your data, like you said, mm-hmm. all this different stuff, health and fitness, like that's a lot of stuff. And then it's really hard to log out if you're a user and then log into a brand. There's not easy switching from the mm-hmm. kind of marketing perspective. Mm-hmm. You can't use it on desktop. That's ridiculous. So you have to like do all this stuff.
That's so Instagram logging out, of them.
Logging in, yeah. doing all
so
this.
So Instagram of them.
But I think the biggest downside of it is people that are on there have already figured out like what works on Threads. And it is the absolute most brain dead, lamest content in the world. It's like, I'm having oats overnight. What are y'all eating this morning? And it's like, you're supposed to respond to that. And that is like the most popular thread on Threads it's ever threaded.
That's why there's no search. You don't need to search for overnight oats. It's there.
It's just like, the content is awful. I do think there is a niche if like you aren't willing to go to Twitter. And if at some point you could follow people you actually follow and see that content only and try to like communicate mm-hmm. publicly with little groups. But at this point, this is a very strange product. And I've tried to like come up with where it falls within Meta's plans in general. Mm-hmm. So here's what I've got, right? We've got Instagram Reg, where it's photos and galleries. You can also have video, but kind of more on that to come. And Instagram Reg is like private and public, right? So most people are probably private, but there's also some public Instagram. Then you've got Instagram Stories, where you put fleeting messaging, more organic, less evergreen content that's there. Again, mainly private, but also some public stuff there. You got Instagram Notes, and that's a way to put simple messages and text out there, almost like an away message.
I hate notes.
Okay. Yeah. Then you've got Reels, that's Instagram and Facebook across all Meta properties, and it's a way you can put videos up if you don't want people to fast forward or rewind. Then you've got Messenger, which is direct messaging for Facebook. Then you've got Instagram messages, which is direct messaging and chat for Instagram. Mm-hmm. Then you've got WhatsApp, the largest non-SMX texting chat platform across all operating systems in the world.
SMS. You said SMS.
Non-SMS.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Non-SMS.
I know. The acronyms are hard. Yeah.
And now we've got Threads, which is like text and photo updates for younger folks that don't want to use the other option I haven't talked about yet, that are probably more public than an Instagram, but may also be private, depending on how you set your mm-hmm. scenarios. And then lastly, you have Facebook. I don't know where Facebook is even coming into this anymore. I've got Facebook as text and photo updates for old folks.
Yeah.
In a private fashion.
And birthday wishes.
Yeah.
It's a birthday calendar.
Or public, but they don't know they're public.
Yeah, exactly. They can't use it out. But you look at all this and it's like, I don't see a world where there's a Facebook with everything I mentioned mm-hmm. earlier. There's no way that fits in to them breaking everything out.
Facebook groups, I guess, is the only mm-hmm. thing you
which
don't
even
have.
The youngins but, use.
Again, but you can have Instagram chats. Maybe it's groups. But again, if that works, I just don't see that a need for Facebook anymore. And then, yeah, on the thread side, I think it's such a small market with the current implementation of it because you can't actually see anything out there. Mm-hmm. And then you look at all of this, and my big thing is like, why do I want to give Facebook more play? Everybody's like celebrating this like it's a huge win. It's like, I just listed everything off that this dude owns. I kind of like it when another person or somebody else doesn't control everything, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to have to use Threads instead of Twitter.
I don't know if you're going to have to. I don't think it's going to stick. I still am in that camp. I think everybody, like, user and the ability to move everyone from Instagram to Threads, incredible that they did that. But everything that I've seen on Threads is basically making a joke about being on Threads, but people aren't
I stopped early. I tried it and I'm like, I can't search.
Yeah, I deleted it. I deleted it. I made my account and deleted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like having other options than one company dominating every facet of social media communication, personally. Okay, so that is my thoughts. I didn't have much.
No, you didn't have many thoughts at all. No, there's validity to all of that, right? And I think there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of buzz around Twitter. So everybody's like, ooh, let's check out the alternative. But again, the staying power, who knows, right? We'll find out. But I will say that Mark Zuckerberg believes in it. He thinks that is going to be very friendly and focused on kindness. And he had a lot to say about that. And I think that's a really nice message, but whatever.
Also, the world is not friendly and kind.
I agree.
The world is mean and nasty.
I agree. More on that in a minute. Mr. Adam Mosseri did have something to say. He said the goal isn't to replace Twitter. The goal is to create a public square for communities on Instagram that never really embraced Twitter. Okay. And for communities on Twitter and other platforms that are interested in a less angry place for conversations, but not all of Twitter. It is less angry because nobody is using it yet. People are angry everywhere. People are angry in this room, depending on what the topic is.
I'm never angry.
I wasn't talking about you. I pointed at you, but I wasn't talking about you.
Roll the tape back, tables. Roll it back.
He did follow up and say politics and hard news are inevitably going to show up on Threads. They have on Instagram as well to some extent, but we're not going to do anything to encourage those verticals. Okay. Again, I think that the idea and the philosophy is lovely. I don't know how realistic it is, just because the world we live in is a world where Mr. Elon Musk pipes back and just says things like, I propose a literal dick measuring contest. This is a tweet. He should have put it on Threads.
I don't like that Adam Mosseri is like, hey, we're going to make this a less angry place for conversations. Like,
you just can't control that unless you're actually controlling that. In which case, tell us how.
It makes it sound like you're going to be 1984 style, like totally controlling something. That's a weird thing. And then be like, oh, you know what? Hard news is probably going to get in here. Yeah. You know what? Hard news is something that affects and impacts people and people talk about.
And I think that's something about Twitter.
You're making threads.
Breaks
in the controversy and angry people and the rants and the threads.
Yeah. I don't like people being hateful towards each other, but there are serious topics to discuss, and to think it's not going to happen in a platform or that people are going to be more civil.
Yeah, you can't talk about hard news here. It's inevitably going to make its way. I don't know. I'm threads. Fence dramas. Threads is killing Blue Sky, Mastodon, whatever other dummy social account.
I got a whole list of eight of them later. Yeah.
This time, next year, Threads will not exist. Heard it here first.
Think the bird's still going to be flying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's switch the topics here over to some big ads news here from Google, well, from Barry Schwartz. He kind of found this. The Google Search Explorer section is gaining ads, and these are some big old ads that you see here. The Explorer section launched about a year ago. It's live for everybody. I believe it's like mainly mobile at the moment. But we haven't seen ads in there until this week. And in the case that Barry is citing, it's for the term phone ordering system. And the first result that comes up is full width. Usually there's like two stories side by side. This is full width with a giant image ad, and it's for a SoundHound, and it says automated phone ordering tailored to your business. And it takes up an insane amount of real estate. I'm assuming that this is going to be rolled into one of the like kind of Google owned and operated type options, like a Performance Max or Discovery ads, or maybe those new, what are they calling them? Demand gen ads, but those are more video. I'm not sure exactly how you get onto this, but it does just look like an image extension or image asset that is being pulled through. If you can figure out how to get this, and if people are actually using Explorer for this, you're going to print money. The biggest caveat that I see to this is that if I'm using something like the Explore section to find new stuff, the absolute last thing that I want to see is nearly 60% of my screen being the query and the ad itself. This is a monster ad that is being shown right now. So again, maybe this will work great. I am not sure. We'll report back when we know how you can buy this inventory, but I'd imagine it's PMax or Discovery to get here. Well, would it be Discovery? Because Explore is search, so it wouldn't be Discovery. It would have to be PMax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it could even be your normal search ads, because this is technically a search because you have to input a query to get to Explore. Yeah. But then if you have an image extension, you could show up alongside of
image
that.
Image asset.
So, asset.
Asset. Yeah. Asset. So that's another good reason that you should have image assets as well, as you might have your ad look like what was just up on the screen. Nicole, what you got?
So Nicola Agius on Search Engine Land covered that Microsoft is rolling out AI-generated ad headlines and descriptions. So sort of like Google earlier this year announced, this feature is available in 35 languages that will automatically be detected based on the language of your website that you're using. So underneath the final URL section, when you're creating your ad, you'll notice another section titled headlines. And from there, you'll get recommendations for headlines to use based on your final URL and be able to choose multiple headlines you want to use in your ad in just one click. But that's not it. Alongside these AI-generated headlines and descriptions, Microsoft is also releasing auto-generated assets. And finally, ifs functions. So this can help you easily edit ad copy based on two targets, device and audience. And it's expected to help with scalability issues and reduce the need for separate campaigns and ad groups for different devices and different audiences.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from the one, the only, Lily Ray, at Lily Ray NYC on Twitter. And she's got a screenshot from Google SGE. And I'm going to describe the screenshot here quick first. The question was, how do I access Search Console? The answer is, here's how to access Google Search Console, which is a free service that helps you monitor and troubleshoot your site's presence in Google search results. One, go to search.google.com/search-console. Two, then there's three more and more. And Lily says, because who doesn't love copy-pasting a text link into their browser, and also none of the three links on the right being the one that you actually need? By the way, the silly question in the upper right was Google's suggestion, not mine. I have no idea why Google and SGE are so reluctant to link to anything in the world. It is flabbergasting. You see, what are the top 10 CRMs? You just list them out. You can't get to them. Well, how do you get to the Search Console? You got to go here. How do I get it? I can't click on it. You got to pick it up. You got to copy and paste it. I cannot believe that this is still the product that they are trying to run with.
To be fair, a decade in this business, I still Google LinkedIn ads every time I need to get in there.
Right, but
so, you can click on a link.
I can. I can. But as far as this being a silly question, it's a pretty valid question.
No, it is. It is. It's like Search Console. People want to know how to get there.
Right.
It is not. Yeah. They don't have like a good vanity domain that I know of. Well, I'm like analytics.google.com. It might be. I don't even know how to get to Search Console if I type it in.
You go to search.google.com.
/search console. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a long URL. There's not like an easy one like,
I know.
You know, like analytics. So I can't believe they have just put their feet in the ground saying to everybody, F you, I don't care if you want to go here. This is actually where you have to go. You're going to take the time. You're
going to
type it in.
These are correct steps.
You're going to type it in.
The accurate information.
I'm not doing it for
you're
you.
Gonna fall
what do you think?
Here.
This
Stop
is a
it.
Search engine? No, no, you're doing the work here. This is like self-checkout at Target. I'm not doing it for you. You want a question? You do the work.
So you just your webcam turn on and you see how awful you look just like the self-checkout at Target.
I just can't believe this is their product still.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
And this week's ICYMI is from Matt Southern over on Search Engine Journal. He covered the news earlier this week that GA4 was deemed legal in Europe following the recent adoption of the EU-US data privacy framework by the European Commission.
Can I just say something quick? I want a formal inquisition.
This is quick so far.
Into the European Commission. We just said we got to be quick the rest of the show for the record. This is a formal inquisition into the European Commission, because if they're going to ban one thing in this world, it should be GA4. That's the only thing they should be banning. They should be banning Threads. They should be like, look at this product. This is going to cause so much harm to everybody that uses it. Anybody that's using this product, their livelihoods are going to shrivel. Their life is going to be worse. We don't want this in the EU. This is going to cause so much pain and discomfort.
2022. Google optimist, pro Google man of the year.
Pro Google man of the year. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Sorry.
Sorry, Nicole. Good.
So, in summary, this decision enables safe data transmission from the EU to the US companies involved in the framework without necessitating supplementary data protection measures.
I don't like the term safe data transmission. Is that just me?
SDTs? Is that where you're going with that?
I'm not going to interrupt again.
So the new framework offers significant improvements compared to the previous privacy shield mechanism. That sounds so fake.
It for sounds instance, like a condom.
Privacy shield.
Or maybe a dental dam. Glasses are fogging up. I'm not going to interrupt that anymore.
So, for instance, if the DPRC determines data.
You got to put DP in the acronym, of course. All right, I'm not getting interrupted again.
So if the DPRC determines data has been collected violating the new safeguards, it can order the deletion of such data.
Nicole, no one's listening to you. You should just read it and let's go.
Links in the show notes. Read it if you want.
Now it's time for this week's
pew, pew,
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe, Google Ads has launched Gen Z Music Lineup to help marketers better connect with young people. And okay. In the article, it specifies the age range is 18 to 24.
If you're 25-year-old.
So the Gen Z Music Lineup feature uses data from audio, long form, and YouTube shorts to identify trending songs amongst the 18 to 24-year-olds using regularly refreshed data across audio, long form, and YouTube shorts. So Google AI then uses this data and packages relevant music videos into the lineup, and marketers have the option to buy the lineup. And then you can choose to have your ads served alongside content that plays the identified trending songs.
This is Google IRL meme, Steve Buscemi. Hey, kids.
Yes.
Hello, fellow kids. Yeah.
Hello, fellow
yes.
kids. Yeah.
This is just, it's so specific and so niche and so unnecessary compared to the other things that we've been asking for.
All right. And next up, Chris Boggs at Boggles on Twitter said, "Oh, Meta is really on the auto-optimize push these days. Every single campaign in every account, quote, recommended edits, hurl. Hashtag PPC chat. LOL, based on 2021 data from 25 days. Nice. Hashtag science there." And he has a screenshot.
Tell us how you really feel, Boggles.
And then he has a screenshot of the Meta platform trying to recommend automatically optimize 8 eligible ads potential outcome, 10% lower CPA based on our experiment.
Thanks for running an experiment without me.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And from Boris Besserik at Boris Besserik on Twitter, he said, does anyone know how hard it is to get hired by Teleperformance? Also, what do you think these people are earning? How many accounts do they manage? And Gil Gildner at Gil Gildner on Twitter responded, over 300 accounts per quarter. I heard it from the source. Boris, I think manage is a strong word there. That's all I'm going to say. Creating a little mini segment here in paid, the matching corner. So we had a lot of tweets this week about poor matches on Google. So I'll read through them real quick. So Amanda Maurer at Finding Amanda tweeted, weird search term of the day, top microbiologist offering, I think it's supposed to say fitness classes in Anchorage, but it's spelled FKTNESS. The keyword is oncologist, by the way.
That is crazy. Somebody is looking to get an ad in front of somebody looking for an oncologist. Mm-hmm. And you get top microbiologist offering fitness classes in Anchorage. Ridiculous.
And from Anthony Higman at Anthony Higman on Twitter.
Higman!
He goes, like, really? Really? Gotta love Exact Match in 2023. JK, I hate it. And he has a screenshot of search terms, and he's bidding on an Exact Match charged with DUI, and it matched to someone searching DUI. The exact intent, match.
The intent is so different. One might be like somebody doing homework or like prepping for their driver's ed class, and the other person is like, I'm effed. Like, yeah. I need to get a lawyer. It's so ridiculous to even continue to call that exact match is disingenuous. I'm not gonna freak out again though. Unless you want me to.
No.
Then we'll go.
No.
Then it's game on.
I think Anthony Higman's freaking out because he's.
We should get him on the show.
Four matches.
That's a great idea.
Yes.
We should try to get him on another show and then he'll match with us.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's do that.
All right. And finally, in this mini segment, Derek Mullins at PPC ClickShark tweeted, this is what happens when you use Broadmatch. End up with misthemed demand capture landing pages on informational searches. Not sure why Google thinks this is a good idea. Litters the SERP with poor results. Guess the money is worth it for them. And he has a screenshot of someone searching law firm publicity stunt. And the sponsored ads that are coming up, law firm marketing company, TV commercials for lawyers.
To be fair, that could show up for Phrase too. It could be Phrase or Broad for Derek's example. But yeah, it's a good reason to mine your negatives.
All right, that's it for paid. What's for organic?
Right? All right, I've got some exciting news for you. Everybody's going to be super excited. YouTube is now testing links from keywords in the comment section. They're going to be hyperlinked. And when I saw this, I got really excited. It's like, hey, the more times we can link things, we don't just have to throw a link out there. We can link certain terms. Let's make it nice and easy. I couldn't have been more incorrect with my hypothesis, because what is going to happen is the new feature will help quote, I'm air quoting for the audio listeners, brands and creators engage with viewers while causing minimal disruption. What they're actually doing is causing maximal disruption in my mind. YouTube will auto hyperlink single words or phrases in the comments section, and those links will not take you to where you want them to go. It will take you to a YouTube search results page for said terms. So if we say, hey, want to see this week, we're covering all the digital marketing news. We can't take digital marketing news and link over to marketingclock.com. It's going to go to a search result where our competitors could be.
And it's just choosing to do that. We have no control.
Right. I thought we could link the actual text itself.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
No. YouTube's going to auto do it. Just like you used to be able to turn ads off, and now you do not have that ability to be able to turn ads off of your YouTube channel. Like this, you now can get people off of your video, off of your channel, and back onto YouTube so that people can find other things instead of yourself.
That sounds ideal.
No, it sucks.
I know.
Okay. All right. Well, something that may suck, it may not suck, is more YouTube news, where YouTube is adding video title suggestions. And so making titles is hard. It's one of our harder things somehow here at Marketing Clock, but our titles are stupid.
Our standards are very high.
We just want to make people laugh. Yeah. Like, we get no search traffic to our site because we're talking about like Justin Fields and Bear. I don't know. If you, yeah. I will go on my deathbed being proud of our of all of our show titles, though, to be fair.
Retweet.
No regrets.
Rethread.
But YouTube is going to put out some suggestions there. The example shows that the YouTube creator channels, I think his name is Connor or Colin or something, where you put the video up and it says, here are some suggested titles, posts on tablets, search for comments, channel memberships, and more, the YouTube news flash. It's fine. I think this is a good use of AI. You might get something you can take, work with, workshop, and make it kind of right. Okay. Google has confirmed a bug with Google News that has impacted publisher traffic. Google's statement was that they said there's an ongoing issue with indexing in Google News that's affecting all sites. Sites may be experiencing a decrease in traffic from Google News. We're working on identifying the root cause. So if you see a fluctuation in Google News traffic, don't worry, it's getting fixed. I thought this was just a fun one from Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan Retail on Twitter. He says, great, I got to spend the last 5 years reading about that one time Airbnb turned off brand advertising, and I get to spend the next 5 years reading about that one time Airbnb killed the PM role. Hell on earth. And apparently, Airbnb is removing the product manager role and turning it into a product marketer role. And they've got this stupid star system up there where there's no more product manager. It's all product marketer. When you're Airbnb, you can do whatever you want, basically, at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why are we can't model ourselves off of Airbnb until we are Airbnb.
And Airbnb is full of absolute shit when it comes to everything. They had Dennis, from eBay, the head SEO, doing everything. Like, oh, we didn't do marketing. All you did is marketing. You just now, at one point, decided to spend less on it because you did such a good freaking job of marketing. So, I whatever. Anyway, they're changing that. Okay, Bing Image Creator is getting some new back-end improvements. Hey.
We could all use that.
Yeah. Bing got back. And it will reduce the production time by 30%. That'd be cool. Like getting butt injections.
30% faster?
Yeah.
Kim K would be all the rage again.
All right. And Google is updating its page indexing report within the Google Search Console to have more fine-grained issues. And according to John Mueller, he says, we're adding annotation. If you saw a jump in your metrics, there was no annotation to the within there. The annotation will be added. So check it out over on Barry Schwartz's article on Search Engine Land if you want to see those exact dates. All right. And from Search Engine Land, we're going to keep it there. Apparently, Google is exploring alternatives to the robots.txt file. And this is in lieu of all the AI scraping and everything that's going on. They say, we believe it's time for the web and AI communities to explore additional machine-readable means for web publisher choice and control for emerging AI and research use cases. I take this as a positive, that they'll say something like, hey, we've got a new protocol where you can tell that you want people on your site to still be eligible for search, but for AI, they can't use it to scrape and steal the results. That's what I take this up. I'm going to say that Google has good intentions on this and that they're trying to make it so, like, if you don't want all your stuff stolen, you don't have to be stolen by Bard. or, you know, ChatGPT. So we'll see what that happens. I still think like a robot tax is pretty good. Maybe there could be like an open AI protocol. I don't know. I don't know how you would do that other than robot tax. Speaking of Google Bard, from Barry Schwartz, he says, Google Bard has not published an update in 5 weeks. And the last experiment update was back in June 7th, which is just weird. I don't understand why you're not updating things or at least talking about them. And then I also feel like Alexa has never been updated in its life. Or Siri.
Oh, for sure.
How do these things stink so bad? Everything used to be voice search. Now nothing is anything anymore. Whatever. Okay, from Forbes.com, apparently a handful of tax filing platforms were sharing personal data with Meta and Google. Those included TaxAct, HR Block, and TaxSlayer, and they shared information about customers, including their names, full addresses, emails, and which deductions or exemptions they were eligible for, along with other information. Again, this is the same company, Meta, that everybody's cheering for to use as their main tool for communication while also having the main tool for video and everything. It's all whatever. Okay, from Barry Schwartz over on Search Engine Roundtable, says, Google's John Mueller, if you weren't buying links, don't disavow. We are long today, so I'm going to save everybody a long diatribe here, but apparently somebody asked, what would you do for dissecting spam links, and how accurate is it to state if Google understands or sees both these risks here? And John says, essentially, if you weren't buying links, don't disavow. Anybody with two neurons that connect can understand the fact that this is the dumbest argument ever to be made, because you're saying in a case that if you have spammy links come to you, it could be a problem. And if you are buying links, then you should disavow, is what I read from this. John saying, essentially, if you weren't buying links, then don't disavow. Correct?
That's what he's saying. Which to me, literally what he's saying.
Which to me reads as, if you are buying links, you may want to consider disavowing, right? I'm not saying you have
may
to.
Want to consider.
May want
yes.
to consider.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
may
yeah.
want to consider. Yep. So then it opens up the fact that there are bad actors out there. Jess, you have a site. I go to Fiverr. And let's say I spend $500 and I buy you 1 million links.
Thank you.
You didn't buy any links. Do you disavow these links?
I mean, it probably should.
You didn't buy links, though. Talk to John.
Essentially, I should not.
That's the problem. That's the problem is like there are people that do bad things. You can buy crap links for people. It's very low budget to do so.
People are still out there doing that?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It's easy. It's easy. It's easy. Go to Fiverr and buy links for people.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Yeah. But that's it's easy. Yeah. Anyway, I just saw another meme out there from Oleg and it's like, disavow paid links is the one button. It's the guy sweating. The other button is negative SEO doesn't exist, which Google always says negative SEO doesn't exist. But then you see these stupid comments like this out here that are incorrect. John Mueller's comment is incorrect. I'm going to go on the record and say it. If somebody bought 1 billion spam links to you and your traffic dropped because of it, I don't care that you didn't buy those links. You still had somebody else buy the links for you. Right? That's negative
Not for
SEO.
You, against
Before
you.
Before you.
They got
to
them
make
against
you tank.
You. Yeah. Yeah.
And anyway, the sweating guy is trying to choose between the button of disavow paid links or negative SEO doesn't exist. So it's John Mueller commented and said, love these memes from 2010.
That is not helpful.
We're talking about Google here. What else do you expect? That's it in organic. What's happening in social button?
Oh, man. More of that later. All right. First up, the world is in a tizzy over the Twitter drama. If you're looking for an alternative, Threads is obviously number one on the list, or the list I'm about to talk about. But
it's Threads or nothing.
Yeah. There's other ones out there. No. And if you are considering them, there's a Search Engine Land article about it. Describes all of them. We'll have the link in the show notes. You can check it.
If you want a blue sky, I can give once every quarter a listener a blue sky invite. You go talk to yourself over
Blue
there.
Sky was number two. I don't think they're ranked in any order. Threads was first, though, obviously. All right, next up, Oh Snap, which is a joke that I stole from the announcement. Linktree is the exclusive link in bio platform for Snapchat public profiles. This will begin rolling out this week, should be available to all public profiles within the coming months. And if you want to go really wild, there's a 3-month free trial of Linktree Pro. Promo code's in the article.
Nobody in life has ever done more with less than Linktree.
How do you mean?
It's literally like, you make a basic CMS. You say, what is the text of the link?
None of the platforms let you do
anything. What is the link location?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you can get 3 months of this for free. This is the most basic thing ever created. Name one thing that's done more with less than Linktree.
This show?
Yeah. Fair point.
Just kidding. Just kidding. No, I know. They're capitalizing off of people's shortcomings, and I just love that. Okay. People with more than one friend can rejoice because Instagram is expanding its collaborative posting capabilities, allowing users to now add up to 1, 2, 3 collaborators on any feed, post, or reel. It's not the world's biggest update, but it could be quite handy if you're collaborating with more than one other account. So good to know. Something not at all handy. Meta's rolling out avatar-enabled video calls. Who gives a shit? If you do, don't listen to this show. Some rapid fire bird news. This is a tweet. Twitter seems to be unlocking the Twitter Studio feature, which was only available to specific media or celebrities, and starting to make it available to Twitter Blue subscribers now. This means that subscribers can live stream through the Twitter website. Twitter Daily News says Twitter will require 5 million plus tweet impressions in each month for the last 3 months to be eligible for ad revenue sharing. They also said that in an email to Twitter staff, Elon Musk said that Twitter needs to ship better features faster than ever. But then Elon Musk is out there just shipping the most incredible. The man's got big dreams. Say what you want. He tweeted that we are announcing the formation of @xAI to understand reality. And if you go to x.ai, the website, it's not just reality here on Earth. You are going to understand the universe.
Yeah. And he launched it on July 12th.
As of we're recording.
2023. 7 plus 12 plus 23 equals
42. You want to get conspiracy theory? You can. I'm not going to because we're going long. And I will close it out. Greg, what does this even mean? There's a tweet here.
It's from @stylebender, UFC fighter.
I feel like those are like AI generated images of Mark Zuckerberg.
That's not him, right?
That's him.
That's really him?
He's a bit of a hoss.
You're so rich and you don't actually put time into your actual platform Meta that you can look like that.
But he's creating a universe where people are calling each other with their avatars, but then you're going to spend time trying to look like this in real life?
He's galaxy brain, just so you know, right?
But is he universe brain? Because we can understand the universe with his opponent.
He's telling everybody to sit in a chair, put goggles on, and just be your best digital
because
you.
He wants me to sit in the chair so that I'm not working out, so that I can't look like that. He's always going to be the best looking person.
This is really him? This is what he looks like?
The face looks like it's photoshopped onto that
looks
body.
So happy to be standing there ready to kill someone with his bare hands.
He's a beast. He did a Murph in like 45 minutes.
He looks like how I feel in my dreams where I kill people by squeezing their heads.
Yeah.
And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work. Good, bad, or otherwise.
All right, this week in Working Hard or Hardly Working, for me, Goth in Command, working so hard this week. We had a big presentation to a client earlier this week, and you put hours into making sure the slides look beautiful.
We put hours. You worked really hard. I was going to do you. So this is just a mutual. We're working so hard, us goths.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, we didn't end up getting through all the slides. We probably didn't even need to prepare that much, but we did. And we got it done. And I think it went really well. So working hard.
Thank you so much.
Just bud.
I'm just going to piggyback on that because I was going to say that being over prepared goes a long way. And our team was Second Gotham Command put in so much work getting this presentation ready. And yeah, if it wasn't there, we would have needed it. And just we were able to just speak naturally and have a great conversation. And I loved it. So hard work works hard.
There you go. All right. I was not on this meeting, but I heard it went well. And so I'm going to say that when you do a find replace in Microsoft Word, I was trying to do all these regex, just make massive regex. I had copied, pasted all these URLs in. If you do a find replace for the caret and a P, you will remove all the paragraphs and pull the regex together, which I didn't know about in Microsoft Word. So you find replace caret P, and it will take everything and smush it all into one line.
Whoa.
Pretty cool. You didn't even know that.
I didn't know that.
Yes!
Got me.
Nicole knows everything about sheets and Word and everything like that.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
For this week's Cool Tool, oh, hey, it's a survey platform. Yay! That you should know about. And it's called Know, K-N-O. It's a suite of pre and post purchase survey tools to help e-commerce folks collect behavioral data and understand attribution, drive stronger ROI with insight straight from the source, which is increasingly important as privacy rolls out everywhere and nobody's sharing anything anymore. So some of our clients actually use this platform. I can personally vouch that it's very easy to set up. The dashboard reporting is very straightforward and legitimately insightful. We have used this to drive strategy. Or informed strategy, I should say. There's a free version as well as several paid tiers if you need more advanced features, but all levels integrate with Shopify. So if you're using that and you are an e-commerce retailer, you want to check this out. And you can do so at knowcommerce.com. That's K-N-O-commerce.com. Or as always, we'll have the link in our newsletter, marketingoclock.com/newsletter, as well as on Discord, community.marketingoclock.com. So pick your poison and check it out.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week, it's just another thread from Menachem Ani at Menachem Ani on Twitter. And this week, he is talking about prepping for the holiday season. And this is the time you should prep. To be honest, it's way too early to consider it from a shopping standpoint, but from a marketer going to shoppers, get your ducks in a row now. And he talks about four outside of Google optimizations to boost your chances of success coming this Q4, including Performance Max, campaign structure, which is huge, what to do if you got smaller SKU levels, offer positioning, data feed information, titles, identifiers, price, category, and then the post-click experience. If you want to see that all, go follow Menachem Ani on Twitter or check it out at marketingoclock.com/newsletter or community.marketingoclock.com for our Discord channel where you can follow along and see all of the stories from this week's show.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to, which you can find over at playlist.marketingoclock.com. For me, I'm adding Not Strong Enough by Boy Genius. I know I've already added a Boy Genius song, but can never love them too much. Jess, what's going on the playlist for you?
Mine was sent to me basically during that presentation we delivered from one Nicole Waddington. It's Please Don't Die by Father John Misty. Greg?
All right, and I'm going to go, I'm keeping it Future Islands here again for the second week in a row. I'm going to go Heart Grows Old by Future Islands.
That does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
We can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck, where after our famous Friday news show, we don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
All right. And this week we're playing everybody's favorite game. It's two kinds of people.
Yes.
There are two different types of people. It's binary. You cannot be in the middle. You fall one way or another. And everybody's going around and say what they are and why. Okay. So first up, there are people that salt and season food at a restaurant before tasting it, or people wait to taste the food before they salt or season it. What are you?
I don't season anything ever, usually, if it's at a restaurant.
So you just even if it needs salt, you just refrain.
I grew up in a no salt household or low sodium household, so I'm used to bad tasting food, and it's just out of habit. I never reach for the salt.
All right, Jess.
I will apply hot sauce proactively, but anything else, no. I want to taste it for how it is, and then I'm going to add whatever I'm going to add.
The caveat is this is like a nicer restaurant.
Let's say.
Okay. Yeah. Tables?
I'm somebody who likes to taste it before I salt it or throw anything else on it.
100%. What are you doing if you haven't tasted it? Maybe there's already too much salt on there.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Have you ever received a salty dish and you're like, oh, you're going to add to that?
My dad salts everything. Everything just gets salt. But it's like he loves salt. So like he's always going to like it that way. Mm-hmm. But so many people like pre-season, it's like you don't even know what it tastes like yet.
What is this, sports?
Okay. All right. This is a weird one. There are some people out there, when you get a meal, let's say it's like you have like a sandwich or something, there's usually like a really good bite in it, right? It's probably not that crust bite. It's probably like a middle bite. Could be the crust bite if you like it. Or maybe like a cookie or ice cream. You might save like the extra little pieces of like Reese's peanut butter cup or cookie dough or something. There are people that save the best bite or best stuff for last, or people that eat it all, you know, regularly. Do you save things, the best parts for last, or do you eat it regularly? Go.
I absolutely save the best for last. Absolutely. Yeah.
Same.
Okay. Tables?
So if I know it's coming, I'll save it for the end. But like something like a BLT, if you get like that really good
There's no good bites in a BLT.
Are you kidding me?
There's
BLTs
none.
Are good.
BLTs are amazing.
No. BLTs?
Yes.
I got to get my hands on one now that I'm
craving one now. You don't need the T, the L, or the bread.
So if it's just B, I will save the best bite for last.
So a BLT sandwich, you'll save the best for last.
If I know it's coming, yeah.
Okay. I love that last. The best bite for last, or that last like scoop of ice cream that's like perfectly set up with like a bunch more like stuff inside of it.
Yeah.
Heaven.
Or pizza. Like I will eat tip to crust, but if it's my last piece, I'm going to eat the crust before like a pizza bite, because I want my last bite to be pizza and not crust.
That's commitment. This is a little bit out there, but like there are people, if you see a sport being played, you may have never even played it before. Something like spike ball or something, a game you've never seen in your life. There are people that are like, look at it and say, that looks difficult, or people are like, I got this. Mm. Right? There's people that can like step in. Like I don't play ice hockey. If somebody's like, hey, we're gonna go play ice hockey, I'd be like, all right, you know, like can you step in, like people that step in for a sport.
I mean, I'm not stepping in for a sport.
Okay. Tables?
So if somebody asks me to step in, I will step in, but I'm not gonna walk up on somebody's spike ball game and say, hey,
But let's say that somebody's like, hey, I need a fourth for spike ball.
Yeah, I'm in.
You're like, and what are your thoughts?
I got this.
Yeah, you're going to dominate, right? And then, like, it usually doesn't go that way. Yeah. But I feel like it's like a very binary thing if somebody thinks they could just do that.
No confidence in that regard. Do you? Right,
Nicole?
I will 100% say yes with no confidence. And I will warn people that this is what you're getting. But I'm a yes person, so.
People that when you have to go number two.
Poop?
Yes.
Okay.
When you have to poop.
Just for the cheap
seats. And you're out of your home. People that will hold it.
Oh my God.
Super long.
Oh, yeah.
When you have options. And I'm saying there's options here, right? Like you're at a grocery store. There's a toilet available. You're driving somewhere and there's a rest stop. There's different situations. People that will hold it to go home are people that let it fly.
Don't call it let it fly, because I'm the lady that's going to find a toilet. You have to go. You can't hold that.
Yeah.
You cannot.
I feel like
that.
Things get worse exponentially.
Yeah.
The more minutes that go by when the urge hits.
Yeah.
If there's no shame.
No.
We're going.
Yeah. You have to go. My brother is a hold it man. And those that know.
We
went around the country and the boy held it for weeks because of a hotel toilet. But no, if I have to go at the mall, I'm going at the – I have to go.
Yeah.
Tables.
If I know I can get home safely,
Oh, you hold it?
Sometimes. It depends. How long are we talking here?
You're going to make it home. You're not going to have an accident, but the entire way home is going to be agony.
You're breaking a sweat. You're breaking a sweat.
No, you don't want to suffer.
If it's within a 15-minute span, then yes. If it's more than that, and I know it's more than that, then I'll just suck it up and go somewhere.
Okay.
I'm going.
I'm Mr. Public.
Yeah.
Like, bring it on. Like,
I mean, I don't have your fervor.
It's fine. Like, whatever.
Where
like,
everybody poops.
Yeah. You need to get it out. We holding it in is bad for you.
It is.
Yeah. I also know somebody that doesn't poop at their house. Isn't that weird?
Really?
Yeah.
They'll poop anywhere else?
Yes.
Crazy. Sounds like a condition.
That's the one place I might, you're like a guest at someone's home, depending on where the bathroom is, I might hold it. Wegmans grocery store, I'll go.
That place is already destroyed.
Yeah, so exactly.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Like, it's fine. I might hold it at someone's home if it's not like a large party where
I know that's the nuance there.
Is if it's a clean bathroom where you have a reputation to uphold and it's clear that you.
Speak freely.
Like, everybody knows Nicole and her reputation. She's got to uphold this one.
I can't imagine not going in your own home.
That just is sad. That's a sad life to live.
Yeah. So sad. It's like heartbreaking.
I hope your neighbors love you.
It's not me.
No, I just mean the person. Yeah. I know it's not you. You're Mr. Public.
Yeah, I know people that go to Public to do it. It's weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
One less toilet to clean, I suppose.
Yeah. That does it for this week's Shooting the Hack. We'll see you next week.